time of Easter. And so I'm going to be looking at the question that everybody is asking in our society that Pilate asked. He said to Jesus as he was standing there, Veritas. And I know Latin, not really, but I know that word. It means truth. And Pilate is asking the question, what is truth? And here he is standing right next to truth. That's where our society is. And we're going to talk about that for the next couple of weeks as we look at Easter. And so I encourage you to be praying those things. And again, the stuff that we talk about on Sunday mornings, man, there's some interesting stuff. What's happened on Wednesday nights when we unpackage this stuff. We were talking about man and how God created man and gender and not anything that we're dealing with in society today. Great things to be able to help us to flesh these things out in life. So encourage you to be a part of that. We're talking about the kingdom today, and a question I have for you is, what rules your life? What are you seeking first? You know, let's imagine our life as a chair. I just happen to have this here, not really, but okay. And I know how to do this, baby. Okay, this is your life. This is the center of your life. Who is going to be seated there? It's either yourself or someone else, or it's going to be God. And that's a question we need to ask today is, you know, we struggle. This is my life verse, Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And that verse hit me a long time ago, and that's what I want to drive my life, is that I put God first. I put his kingdom first. But we struggle with this because of original sin, the sin of self. We want our own way. I mean, we just got to fight that all the time. We desire to be first. And then I'm thankful that we're Americans. And since I've done that ancestry, I want to go to England someday. And my roots, my dad tried to keep it from me, but my mom's side, my roots are in England and Scotland and all those things. And you know, just the whole thing about the king and all that kind of stuff. You know, us in America, we just don't understand that. And that's okay. I'm thankful for our freedoms. But when it gets to God, we need to understand that. Any earthly kingdoms are flawed. And God's kingdom is not. But if we struggle to understand the concept of a king. We struggle to fight our desires. We struggle to seek God. We struggle to put God first. And we can choose, like, when Jesus was talking to Mary and Martha, Martha was about feeding everybody, and Mary was being a disciple at the feet of Jesus, and Martha goes to Jesus and say, hey, get my sister to work. And he said her name twice, I think. You know when your name gets said twice by someone that loves you, that's probably not a good thing. Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen the better thing. And so many times we want to choose the lesser thing. And when we do, we're choosing to worship ourselves or worship the things that are created, or we can choose the kingdom things. And your action step today is seek the kingdom first. Seek the kingdom first. And your points are going to be spelled out under the word seek. And so let's look at the article, because we've got to be official here. And again, guys, we're going over. I want you to know this body of believers, and it's not about names or titles, but what we believe as a Baptist church. And again, most of you know the pamphlets are here at this door and at the back, and kind of a summary of the verses. And we look at this article and what it says here. It says, God includes both his general sovereignty over the universe and his particular kingship over men who willfully acknowledge him as king. Particularly, the kingdom is the realm of salvation into which men enter by trustful, childlike commitment to Christ. Christians ought to pray and to labor that the kingdom may come and God's will be done on earth. The full consummation of the kingdom awaits the return of Jesus at the end of this age. Great statement of summarizing about what we believe. And you say, well, why do we need to talk about the kingdom? Because I think that's where the problem we have is most Christians, we don't realize we're living for a kingdom, we're representing the kingdom, and we have a king. So, original sin, seeking self, and like I said, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. That is, the reason that's my life verse, not like the rest of the Bible shouldn't be my life verses, but that really summarizes as a Christian, every day when we wake up, what we need to be looking to put first. I want you to understand those days when I don't put God first, I feel like I'm trying to catch up and they don't end as well. But when you put God first and put doing what he wants first, then your desires and your direction are right, and then the right things are going to be provided for you. I'm not saying be good and good things happen to you because we're in a broken world, but we're talking eternally. And so we live in a free country, and as Americans, so it's hard to understand. And obviously, our whole base was based on overthrowing a bad king, and so it's hard to overcome the concept, like I said, of king. And it's hard to understand God's sovereignty over the universe. And it starts with understanding, and we don't hear the word sovereignty that much, but that God is overall in control of everything. And he is king of the universe. Isaiah said this and understood this really well in Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on high in a lofty throne. And the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphim were standing above him. They each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of armies. His glory fills the whole earth. The foundations of the doorway shook at the sound of their voices, and the temple was filled with smoke. And then he said, woe to me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and live among a people of unclean lips, and because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of armies. And then one of the seraphim flew over to me. And in his hand was a glowing coal that he has taken from the altar with tongs. And he touched my mouth with it. And he said, now that this has touched your lips, your iniquity is removed and your sin is atoned for. And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who will I send? Who will go for us? And he said, here am I, send me. This week, you need to go back and unpackage that. Isaiah 6, verses 1 and 8, because it really hits everything I'm going to talk about today on the fact that we live in a kingdom and we have a king. And if we choose to recognize him as king, the things he can do through us for the kingdom. Man. See, I feel like in our society, what we're dealing with, if you respect me, I'll respect you. That's kind of a good thing, but how's that work for you in life? Because there's been some times, believe it or not, I may not have respected people. I mean, maybe my mom watches, you know, on the internet, so I have to be honest, because she still could probably give me a whipping, okay? She still scares me, love her, okay? But, you know, respect, there's times we don't respect our parents or our teachers or all these things. I think it's worse now, and I'm going to put it on parents. I don't want to make us feel worse, but when we don't, Proverbs says, when we fail to discipline our children, we aid in their death. And I don't want to add to Scripture, we may aid in the death of others. Respect. So, but you go back here to Isaiah, and you see the huge glory of the Lord. If we got into it about the angels, they had their eyes covered, and they had everything covered, and then they had one set of wings to fly, because this is the angels, God's messengers, and they feared God. Fear is not a bad thing. It's a healthy respect. I'm not talking about somebody terrifying you in the sense of mistreating you. We find a healthy respect for things a lot. And so if the angels felt this way about the God of the King of the universe, we see a depiction here that Isaiah is saying, man, I got into his presence and I realized how unclean I was. I realized my need for him. And then you see the grace in that. And so that's why you probably need to chew on that this week. Sometimes we forget or don't realize he deserves all our respect. He is the king. He's not an elected president. He is not a representative. He is sovereign. Your first feeling, seeking the kingdom first, means realizing he is sole king over all. No other. We talk about Jesus as Easter comes, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And God is the great heavenly king, and there is no other. Now, man, and you notice in this article, we'll get there in a minute, man is different from all of creation. We were talking about that Wednesday night, Genesis 1:27, made in the image of God, a given free will, made with an eternal soul. Yes, there'll be a new heaven and earth, and yes, we'll enjoy the things that we enjoy here on earth, but yet we'll not have the crushing weight of sin and the brokenness that we live in day to day. But we're the only thing in creation that can say no to God. I want you to think about that for a minute. We're the only thing in creation that can say no to God. Creates the animals, creates everything. His hand is on everything. If his hand ceased to be on creation, he's not watching us from a distance, we would cease to exist. But we're the only thing in creation that can say no to God. That's why in this article statement, we have put his particular kingship over man who willfully acknowledge him as king. Particularly, the kingdom is the realm of salvation in which men enter by trustful, childlike commitment to Jesus Christ. Those of you, most of you, hopefully know how we were founded as a nation. Taxation without representation. That sounded familiar now. Oh, well. Okay, but, you know, here we had King George, and he was just putting more and more money on the colonies, and suddenly we said, no, that's not good. We're going to rise up. We're going to overthrow that. We can choose to say no to God. He's not overtaxing us. His love, he sent his son to save us. But notice, his particular kingship over men who willfully acknowledge him as king. You have to make the point where you, when we talk about, I asked him to be my Savior. I'm following as my Lord and my King. It is your choice. I can't make you. I can just tell you the situation that you're in and the reality of that situation, that God is King over all of the universe. And the way we recognize him as King is, and the second part, particularly the kingdom is the realm of salvation in which men enter by trustful, childlike commitment to Jesus Christ. I love that statement. The faith of a child. A little child, when they're scared or they need help, they'll put their arms up and they're basically saying, save me, help me. That's what so many times my brother-in-law, who spoke his testimony, he didn't give us a diatribe of how he wrote a big paper to God. He just cried out for Jesus. And that's as simple as that. I've been on the seat of my life, the throne of my life. I'm getting off and I need you. Save me. He's king over men who willfully acknowledge him as king, who specifically by calling on him to save them, trusting Christ like a child, and committing to him as king. Because, notice Matthew 7:8 says this, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Do you think that you're worse than anyone else, that God can't save you? That stupid argument of, can God create a rock big enough that he can't move? How many angels can fit on the head of a pen? Some of the theologians were discussing, who cares? Here's the deal. I don't care where you're at, where you've been. The devil's going to make you think there's no way God can. That's a load of crud. Because right there in Matthew 7:8, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. No excuses. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We need to now. You've heard it today if you don't know Christ, but we need to now, because regardless, one day, Philippians 2 verses 10 through 11 says this, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You do not want to wait until that day, because it'll be too late. Your knee will bow, your tongue will confess, the time of grace will end, and then you will face hell, eternal punishment with Satan and his demons. Your choice, because you're the only thing in creation that can say no to God. Wow, Pastor, that's a Debbie Downer. No, that's the reality, and you don't have to live there. And it's your choice. Your next villain, we need to know the kingdom is for everyone who seeks him. And if you seek him, you will find him. And so this is what we're saying. You know, we talk about the term lost, and we don't mean that as a derogatory term, but they're in darkness. And Christians, you have the Holy Spirit and the light, and even when you try to hide it, you're glowing. Okay? You're a city on a hill. And we need to help. People are seeking. And they're seeking in all the wrong places, in relationships, in their job, in substances, in wealth, in materials, in, well, if I get this, or if this happens, or whatever. It's not how it works. But the kingdom doesn't just end at seeking salvation. See, that's a lot of things we ignore the Great Commission. It says, go into all the world and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we ignore the last part, teaching them everything I've taught you. See, salvation is the start. Salvation is the promise. And we've got to live out the kingdom of following God. The next part of that statement says, Christians ought to pray and to labor that the kingdom may come and God's will be done on earth. Why are we still here? What are we doing? Christ taught us in the Lord's Prayer. He said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that look like? Well, the only thing we're left with is this, that we show people that are seeking the right way. Not our way, but the way, the truth, the life, which I'm going to be talking about for the next couple of weeks. What is truth? Our society is saying truth is relative. Whatever I want to be, but definitely Christians, it's not your truth. And Jesus is saying there's only one way. And so we need to pray that the kingdom, your will be done, your kingdom come as on earth as it is in heaven. That doesn't mean we're going to have a perfect society. People have tried. You know, our founding fathers, we have three branches of government, and they understood that man was sinful and that man given to himself will do wrong things. Look what's happening now. I don't care what party it is. There's a lot of just junk going on. But when we use that system of checks and balances called accountability, we understand that we're never going to have a perfect kingdom here on earth until, we'll get into that a little bit, Christ comes and fulfills that. But we need to notice what I'm telling you. We need to point people to the kingdom. I'm a kingdom representative. I'm an ambassador. I know a lot of you have been around ambassadors, and you've been to great galas and all over the world. No. Ambassador may not, I think it was an old car, it was an international one of you know. Okay, anyway, but an ambassador is someone that represents their kingdom, their country. They do not speak for themselves. But the problem, I'm going to pick on American Christianity because that's where we're at. We keep adding to the message of the king. I want you to understand how easy it is. If they're going to be upset, if they're going to wrestle, let them wrestle with what the king said. I'm just a representative. He told me to love you and deliver this message. Do you sit there and argue with your mailman when you get bills and things you don't like? That it's their fault? Maybe you do. If you do, you got issues. I'm just messing with you. But you see what I'm saying? You're an ambassador of the kingdom. You reflect Christ. Now, I will say this. The lost are looking for a lot of excuses. People that know Christ that think they're okay not fellowshipping with one another. We talked about the church. That's an excuse. Okay? Because there's a point where, yeah, there's going to be bad ambassadors. There's going to be false sheep. And they're not going to represent the kingdom. It's not perfection, it's consistency. Are you consistently reflecting Christ? Are you consistently just giving his message in your actions and in your words? Representing the kingdom of God, we need not worry about how's the kingdom doing? Is it going to stand? Hebrews 12:28 says this, "Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful by it, for we serve God acceptably with reverence and awe." I want you to understand, some of you guys find some products and you're saying, that's a really good thing. It really lasts. It really does what it says it's going to do. If you're like me, you sit there and talk about it. It's like, let other people know about it because you don't want them to get ripped off. You want them to have something that's good. And yet, when it comes to the only reason Christians we're still here, I can't talk about the kingdom that is going to be eternal, that's unshakable, that is the king of the universe, because someone may get upset. I can't work for the kingdom, and there's no such thing as an undercover Christian. We are given a mission, and our mission is a reconciliation, and that's helping people find the kingdom. Helping people understand their situation. You're made in the image of God, and God has given you free will, and you can say no to God, but I want to tell you what you're going to miss out on. And I want to tell you what he's done so you can be there. And that's our job. Reflected wherever you're at in life, in school, in your job, in your retirement, 24/7, representing the kingdom. I always have to think about, I forget what shirts I'm wearing sometimes, and I like cool t-shirts and stuff like that. And then somebody gave me, a shirt that says, you know, Jesus took naps, I want to be like Jesus. I love that shirt. And I wear it on days I feel like that. I probably should have wore it today, okay? But anyway, here's the deal. I forget I have that shirt on. Everybody's like looking at it, and then I'll be mean to somebody. It's like, see, I needed a nap. Okay, no, but you know, so many times we limit how we reflect the kingdom by what we're wearing, and then, oh boy, that's at Bass Chapel, and I was mean to them. Okay, you know, or whatever. I'm just using that as an example. Your pastor's not going around giving everybody a bad name and Jesus a bad name, but I want you to understand that. How many times, either I don't want them to know I'm a Christian, or, well, it's not going to matter, I'll never see them again. People on the phone that you're talking to in customer service, well, they need Jesus, or they may have Jesus, and who cares if it's on the phone, or I'm just typing that, they're not going to know. Really? We're representing the kingdom, and our job is to point to God, not point people away from God. And that, again, didn't say perfect. If you mess up, you say, guess what? Forgive me. Having a bad day. You know? Seeking the kingdom first means we are, in the next one, ever laboring for the kingdom. Ask the question, why are we still here? We're not here to build up your retirement. We're not here to raise our children. Those are all great things. We're not here to build anything or to survive. We actually can thrive. The only reason we are still here, because guys, it's hard for us to understand, heaven's going to be way better. We're not going to deal with the junk that we're having to deal with here. Are you laboring for the kingdom? Do you walk out that door every day? I don't even walk out the door, because I really believe we're only as Christian as we are with our family, those closest to us. And so are we laboring for the kingdom every day? Are we working and praying for the kingdom? Your kingdom come, your will be done. And so that means identifying those that are lost. That means getting God's message. And I mean, over and over, I just keep hearing people, and yeah, there's a point, it becomes an excuse, that how they've been burned by bad representatives of the kingdom. And then sometimes I have to call them and check. It's like, you know what? I think you're using that as an excuse. But how are you representing the kingdom? We're working and praying for the kingdom means we're working towards. The last part of that statement of the article says this, the full consummation of the kingdom awaits the return of Jesus at the end of the age. Our Sunday school class today, we're talking about heaven. I'm just going to be honest with you, and maybe we'll do a study someday. Randy Alcorn did a book about this thick on heaven, very biblically based. I love Red Alcorn and what he does. And he also does some really good fictional Christian books, too. Just a great author. And I honestly, growing up, I thought heaven, no offense, I love what we did here today, but I thought heaven was going to be these really hard pews, a really big organ, a hymnal that goes out the door because it's huge, and we're just going to be sitting there drolling on and on singing songs. I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. We're going to have a new heaven. We're going to have a new earth. Yeah, there's going to be animals there and all that stuff, and all the things that we enjoy won't be broken. Man, the trout fishing is probably going to be awesome there. And we can't brag to each other because we're not going to be competing. Oh, you caught a 50-pound trout? That's great. I'm happy for you instead of I hate you. Okay, you know, whatever. That kind of thing. You see what I'm saying? Why do we think all the stuff that we enjoy here that's broken, we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth, and Jesus is going to light the whole place, and it's not going to be about us. We're not going to be struggling about us. We're not going to have the sickness. We're not going to be on pill 12 or whatever, or physical therapist. I hope they find Jesus, because some of those physical therapists, they may be working for the other team. I don't know. Okay, you may think they are, but you see what I'm saying? We're not going to struggle with any of that. Why would we not want to see, hey, your kingdom come, Jesus, because this place is not all what it's cracked up to be. But so many times I've been in my mind, the background, and I've had good ministers and stuff, but don't you think all the things that we enjoy in life that are broken, if we're having a new heaven and earth, it's just going to be in 3D? That he says right now, we look through a glass dimly, that we're going to be known as that we're known. And C.S. Lewis talks about the fact that we live in the shadow lands. We're just seeing a shadow of what is really going to be. Our minds cannot even comprehend that. But that's helped me a lot that, hey, we're going to be worshiping God. We're not going to be struggling with sin. And everything's going to be right. That's why we like those movies, or at least I do. Those movies when the hero makes it right. When everything is set right. Because inside us, we await the kingdom. Matthew 25:31 says this, when the Son of Man comes in his glory with all of his angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, showing that he is the king. Seeking the kingdom, your next villain, seeking the kingdom first means knowing we are a part of the kingdom, and the kingdom awaits his return. How are you doing on that? Because so many times I get bogged down in the everyday stuff, and One day, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And while you're struggling with your stuff, you need to realize Hebrews 12:1-2, therefore we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every sin and weight that so easily besets us, and let us run with freedom. And looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. When he sat down, he said, it's finished. When he stands up, it is finished. And we need to understand, he endured the shame, despising the cross. We have a king that understands, and he's coming back. And you say, what is he waiting for? Because he desires that all to be saved and none to perish. It's grace. And he can come today. And that'd be great. Because that's why we need to have that urgency. And so it gets back to the chair. Who is setting your life? Now, I want you to understand about this chair. Every day, you have to make a decision who's going to sit there. You say, well, I've asked Jesus in my life. He's my king. Yeah, I get that, but some days it's like, am I a representative of the kingdom? Am I undercover? I want my own way. This is why my life verse, early on in my life, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Every stinking day, you have to make a decision who's going to be first in your life, whose kingdom you're going to see. And so, maybe today you got on the wrong foot, or maybe you haven't even recognized his kingship. And again, you don't want to wait to bow You don't want to wait to confess. We're going to have a time of invitation here in a moment. And I encourage you to come forward and receive Christ. But for most of you, you're living like you're in a voting kind of theology. And yes, it's congregational. Yes, we had a business meeting. And yes, we voted. But guess what? I don't give a rip potato chip. If we go against God's word, I'm going to say we go against God's word. It's not about pastor, but if a church decides to be in sin, I'm dusting my feet off. And if I got a permanent marker, I'm going to write Ichabod over this place. The glory of the Lord has left this place. I want us to understand. God rules. And so, here's some questions. Today, this week, what are you seeking? And what are you putting first? Every day, why is that my life first? I don't try to give you to. It's because every day I struggle with, is it going to be about me? Is it going to be about something else? What are you seeking? Who are you putting first? Do you recognize Christ as sole king over all? He's over everything. Are you seeking him for salvation? Are you seeking him following every day in your life? Are you ever laboring for the kingdom? A lot of us keep thinking, well, I got to do this or that. Guys, you just wake up and represent Christ. You follow Christ. You speak when he tells you to speak. You be quiet when he tells you to be quiet. You've got that Holy Spirit glow, so stop covering it up because people will notice it. They're attracted because they're seeking and they have no light. But a lot of us wake up and it's like, whatever. The only reason you're still here is to reflect the kingdom. You're a representative. So how good of a representative are you? Didn't say it perfect. Consistent. And are you awaiting the return of the king? Yeah, I got my Lord of the Rings reference in there. None of you got that, but I got it. Okay. Are you awaiting the return of the king? There's so many times it's like, hey, I wish this could happen or this, or I want this temporary thing that just keeps coming. I hope that helps you in the reality of this. This world's got nothing for me. I'm thankful for the gentle blessings, but these are all things that we need to seek first the kingdom. Maybe you need to pray. Maybe you need to come forward, make some of those decisions, but are you seeking the kingdom of God first? As we stand on our feet and have a time of invitation, where is the kingdom in your life? Lord, I pray, however we need to be obedient to you, that we will say yes, that we will surrender and get off the throne of our lives and put you there. I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.